السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his followers from whatever he feared for them. We are still talking about an era in the Muslims' history, and specifically we're talking about the Abbasid rulership, Al-Abbasiyun. And we talked about three caliphs, or three rulers from this dynasty: Abu Abdullah al-Saffah, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, wa Muhammad al-Mahdi. The last of them was Muhammad al-Mahdi, who died in the year 169. And we mentioned biographies of few people who died during the rulership of each of those three caliphs. Today we want to continue after Muhammad al-Mahdi, this third caliph, died in the year 169. His son Musa, who came to be known as al-Hadi, Musa al-Hadi, became the caliph. However, he was a very young man at the time, about 22 years old. Nobody before him became a caliph at such an early age. His father, Muhammad, had given him instructions to chase the Zanadiqa, the people who claim to be Muslim but they are not Muslim, or they do not follow a certain religion. So he carried out the commandment of his father. And when Muhammad died, Musa was away from the area of the caliph. He was fighting in one of the armies. So the one who paid allegiance on his behalf, means who made people pay allegiance to Musa because he was not present, so he arranged for paying allegiance in absentia for his brother Musa, was his brother Harun al-Rashid, until he came back to Baghdad. This Musa was the first caliph to have bodyguards, walk with him with their swords brandished out, that they had their, bows and arrows ready as guarding him. And after him, the caliph starting doing that, the rulers starting having bodyguards around them with their, swords or weapons just shown out. He was rough. He had, in his, as they say, was battash. He had a heavy hand. He would kill people for different reasons. During his rulership, one of the descendants of Al-Imam Ali from the way of Al-Hasan, so he's a descendant of Al-Hasan, named Al-Husayn, the son of Ali, the son of Al-Hasan, the son of Al-Hasan, the son of Ali. So a descendant of Ali from his son Al-Hasan, revolted against Musa al-Hadi. And a battle took place. This descendant, al-Husayn, was defeated and many of his relatives were killed. He himself, al-Husayn, this al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn al-Hasan ibn al-Hasan, was himself killed. However, one of his relatives managed to escape this killing. His name was Idris. So he's Idris, the son of Abdullah, the son of al-Hasan, the son of al-Hasan, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And you remember when we said this Abbasid were two branches, the descendants of the Prophet al-Rasul were two branches, Abbasid and Hashimis. So the Abbasid took over, and there was always a struggle between the two branches of al-Rasul. So this Idris managed to escape to Egypt. In Egypt there were some compassionate people who, you know, stood for the case of the Hashemites, and he arranged for him to escape the ruler there, and he left Egypt to Morocco, to the area of Morocco, until he came to Tanja or Tangier. And Al-Hadi, according to one narration, knew what happened. He knew that this ruler called Wadih is the one who arranged for him to escape. So he sent someone and he had him killed. And then this ruler sent a person acting as a doctor who got closer to this Idris after a while. And then Idris trusted him. This so-called doctor now, he managed to poison Idris and have him killed. And fortunately for Idris, he had a female slave who he had copulated, and then she gave birth to a child of his called Idris II. And this Idris continued the path of his father until a new state, a new, you know, system or state was established in that area. And it, you know, started in Al-Maghrib and then so on. And this state was independent of the Abbasid. So already you learned that in Spain, in Andalus, there was a state that was established, an offshoot of the Umayyads. Now in Al-Maghrib, in North West Africa, an offshoot of the Abbasid was established in that area. Some say, no, it was not Musa who did that, who had the killing of Wadih and Idris. They said his brother after him, Harun, is the one who did. So Idris, the first Idris, the one who was poisoned, he established the Idrisi state in Al-Maghrib in the year 173. He died in the year 177. And his son, Idris II, is the one who took over after his brother. After his father died, of course, when he grew up, he took care of that state. One time, this Musa al-Hadi was upset, angry at a person, with a person. So somebody talked with Musa, and he became happy with this man. He just was not angry anymore with him. So this man came to apologize to Musa that I made you angry, etc. He told him, that's it, I'm happy with you, you don't have to apologize. So being happy with you saved you from the need to apologize to me. One time a poet praised this Musa, the ruler. A lot of poets had the habit of going to the rulers, saying lines of praising of these rulers and their families to get paid by the ruler. A lot of rulers were generous in giving these poets money for having been praised by them. So one time a poet came to him and he said the following line. He said, يَا خَيْرَ مَنْ عَقَدَتْ كَفَّاهُ حُجِزَتَهُ وَخَيْرَ مَنْ قَلَّدَتْهُ أَمْرَهَا مُضَرُ. It means, oh, you the ruler who is the best, that you know what izar is, and the izar usually has something you tie with. So he said, oh, you the best who tied down an izar. He means you are the best man. That's what he means. It's like you are the best who put on clothes or put on pants. So he said, you are the one, oh, you the one who the best who of those who put an izar on, and the best who was chosen as a ruler by Mudar. Mudar is the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, one of the descendants of the Prophet is Mudar. One of the ancestors of the Prophet was Mudar. So he means that you are the best in among the people and the best rulers. So this man, this Musa, although he was praised that in that way, he told them, Waylak. He told them, woe to you. Illa man waylak. He said, except who? You say, I'm the best man and I'm the best, you know, people in Mudar. So except who? Waylak. He means, where did you go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So you're telling me that I'm better than the Prophet? This is kufr. So he told him, except who? So then the people around him started, you know, calling him down, that this man doesn't mean, you know, that you are the best, you know, absolutely. He's just talking about that you're the best now. That he's talking about this time. But then the poet paid attention because he got himself in trouble because he exaggerated. That's what happens when people go to the extremes, they get in trouble. Then the poet, because he has, you know, this wit in him, so he immediately followed that line with a line. He said, إِلَّا النَّبِيَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ لَهُ فَضْلًا وَأَنْتَ بِذَلِكَ الْفَضْلِ تَفْتَخِرُ. And he continued a line, he said, except the Prophet. So he immediately, you know, corrected himself. Except the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, he has a merit, he has a higher status, and you, because you are a descendant of him, you are proud of being a follower of him, or a relative of his. Then this person, then Musa told him, now you said it correctly. Now your words are correct words. Al-Imam al-Suyuti, in his book called Tariq al-Khulafa, The History of the Caliphs, he said that al-Asma'i, one of the great linguists, and we mentioned him earlier, he said that I heard al-Mahdi, means Muhammad, on the minbar of al-Basra, say the following. He said, when this caliph was saying a khutbah, giving a khutbah, remember the caliphs used to be the speakers and the imams of the Muslims in prayer. So he said, I heard him when he was giving a khutbah in al-Basra, means in southern Iraq, that he said the following, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ بَدَأَ بِهِ بِنَفْسِهِ وَثَنَّى بِمَلَائِكَتِهِ فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. آثره بها من بين الرسل إذ خصكم بها من بين الأمم. So he said, I heard this man saying, certainly Allah ordered you by something in which his name was mentioned first, and then the angels were mentioned second. And then he recited the ayah, in Surah Al-Ahzab. Inna Allah, that's the name of Allah first. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu, his angels. So Allah is mentioned first, secondly, the angels. So he said, Allah ordered you with an order, with something, in which he mentioned himself first, then he mentioned his angels second. He said that Allah make salah on the Prophet. His angels make salah on the Prophet. And so all believers make salah on the Prophet and make salam on him. And you already know that as-salatu min Allahi raf'u daraja, tashrifu lin-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say Allah makes salah on the Prophet, we mean Allah raises the rank of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gives him a higher status. Wa malaika, the angels making salah on the Prophet means they are asking Allah to have mercy on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then in the ayah, so we are told that Allah and his angels make salah on the Prophet. Then Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Make salah and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning ask Allah to raise the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to protect his followers from whatever harm the Prophet feared for them. So he is the one who said, إن الله بدأكم بأمر أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكته. And he read the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So he was the first man to say it in a speech, and from that time on, many speakers say it in the khutbah. You hear, you know, the speakers in the musalla, this musalla, and other places say the same thing. They tell you Allah ordered you with something, and they recite this verse. In the year 170, means a year after he became the caliph, Musa al-Hadi died. So he he ruled about 1 year. He died in the year 170 at the age of 23. And before he died, he had a plan to place his son as his successor. He wanted to bypass his brother Harun al-Rashid. So, but he could not do it. He died before he could carry out his plan. And he had a mother who was very influential. All these nobles, all these dignitaries, all these important people, the politicians, the military, all these, you know, leaders would come to her house, and they have regular meetings. They visit her and so on. So she had a very high word in the state. Whatever she liked to happen, she would, you know, let it happen because she had connections. People come to her seeking her, you know, pleasure. So he got mad, this man. He was about 22 years. And he faced his mom. He told her, what is this? People come in, people come out. What's going on? This has to stop. And he made like a boycott, made people not go to her. So she was very upset. She was very angry. So as a result, she would not talk to him for a while. Some people say that she sent him a food that was poisoned, and he gave the food, this poisoned food, to a dog, and the dog died as a result. And so he escaped this poisoning. Then later, she sent some people, and what they did, they put him on the floor, they rolled him in a carpet or a rug, and they, you know, suffocated him, and he died. He left 7 sons after him. So he did not rule for a long time. He ruled for only about 1 year. Any question? So we had Abu Abdullah al-Saffah, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, Muhammad al-Mahdi, Musa al-Mahdi, four caliphs. Now, as usual, we usually say, mention some people who died during the rulership of each one of those. Today, inshallah, we want to mention one person who died during the time of Musa al-Hadi. And this man is Nafi' ibn Abi Nu'aym al-Madani. Nafi' the son of Abu Nu'aym al-Madani, Muqri' al-Madina, means the reciter of the Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born in the year 70 and he died in the year 169 Hijri. He is known as Nafi', the son of Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Nu'aym. His kunya means Abu, the father of. His kunya is Abu Ruwayn, and some people say Abu Abdullah. Originally, he was not from Mecca or Al-Madinah. He was from Asbahan. Asbahan or Asfahan is a city, famous city in Iran nowadays. And it was a famous city of scholars in the time, in the olden days. You heard of Abu Shuja'? Yeah, so he's from there, Abu Shuja' al-Asfahani or al-Asfahani. However, although Nafi' rahimahullah was not from the area, from Al-Hijaz, he became famous because he resided in Al-Madina, Al-Munawwara, the illuminated city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they refer to Nafi', they say Nafi'un al-Madani, Nafi' from Al-Madina, as if he was born there. He was very black, his skin was very black, and he was very handsome. He had good manners. People would be able to smell musk coming from him, especially when he talked. When he talked, people could just smell the musk coming out. So they told him, Abu Ruwayn, do you put perfume musk every time you sit to teach people the recitation of the Quran? Those among you who are attending the Saturday class, Nafi' is one of the 10 reciters. So he told him, do you put perfume on when you sit to teach people the recitation of Quran? He said, no, I don't wear perfume. He said, but I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream recites in my mouth. And from that time, I always smell from my mouth this fragrance, this good smell that you are smelling. And that's why Al-Imam Ash-Shatibi, remember we said on Saturday that Al-Quran, those 10 recitations were from two ways, Ash-Shatibiyya and Al-Tayyiba. So Al-Imam Ash-Shatibi in his poem, when he talked about those 10 reciters, he started with Nafi', and he said, فَأَمَّا الْكَرِيمُ السِّرِّ فِي الطِّيبِ نَافِعٌ فَذَاكَ الَّذِي اخْتَارَ الْمَدِينَةَ مَنْزِلًا. So he said, as for the noble, the one who has a secret of fragrance, then this is Nafi', the one who chose to reside in Al-Madinah. And then he mentions his two reciters, Qalun and Warsh, and so on. So one time one person asked Nafi', he said, how beautiful your face is and how good your manners are. He said, why wouldn't I be like that? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam shook hands with me in the dream and I recited Al-Quran for him in the dream. So it means something special about Nafi' radiyallahu anhu. Al-Imam,
excuse me, before you said that he was very polite, what did you say he was?
I said he was black.
Man?
Very black. His skin was very
black.
Dark.
Black.
Yeah. 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 He, no. He was very black and he had good manners and beautifully was handsome. So it's not just the color, it has to be light for the person to be handsome. Qalun, one of his two reciters, he said Nafi' was among the most, the people with the purest manners. He said, of course, and the best people to recite Al-Quran. He was zahid, means he was detached from the pleasures of the world. He was jawad, he was very generous. And he said, he prayed, Qalun is talking about his teacher Nafi'. He said, Nafi' prayed in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 60 years. Remember, he was born in the year 170, and 169 is when he died. So, you do your math. Now, as for teaching the recitation of the Quran, nobody got ahead of him. And he was teaching the people all the recitations. He knew all the recitations. And one person called Abu Dihya, one of the scholars, he was a student of also Nafi'. He said, "Ya Abu Ruwaym, do you teach people all the recitations, all the different recitations reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He told him, "Subhanallah, would I deprive myself of earning the reward from Allah?" Means if somebody wants to recite Al-Quran, I'm going to tell him, yes, recite, because I want to get the reward from Allah. So he said, I teach the people to recite in different recitations, unless someone says, look, I want to recite your recitation only, then I give him that specific recitation because of his requests. But if somebody wants to recite other than my recitation, I'm not going to deprive myself of the reward of teaching this person reciting Al-Quran. Now, somebody came to him and somebody told Nafi' himself, why don't you learn from me the fast recitation of Al-Quran, which is called Hadr. Because remember on Saturday we said there are three levels of recitation or three speeds. Very slow, medium, and very fast. So the very fast one is called Al-Hadr. So this person was telling Nafi', okay, why don't you learn Al-Hadr from me, how to recite fast. So Nafi' told him, what is Al-Hadr? Tell me, you want to teach me something, I want to know what it is. He said, let us hear what you say. So the man recited for Nafi'. Nafi' want to learn from him. This man said, come and learn from me. Nafi' is the teacher of everyone there. So Nafi' didn't mind to learn from this man. So he wanted to see if he is qualified. He told him, okay, let's hear what you call Hadr. So he recited. So Nafi' said, our Hadr, means our fast recitation, Allah qala hadruna Allah nusqita al-i'rab. He told him this, our fast recitation does not result in changing the endings of the word. Like if there is a word, Allahu, we don't make it Allaha or Allahi, because sometimes the meaning changes. So we don't change those endings of the word. وَلَا نُشَدِّدُ مُخَفَّفًا وَلَا نُخَفِّفُ مُشَدَّدًا. And he told him, if there is a letter which is doubled, we don't make it one letter. And if there is one letter, we don't make it double. Means like when you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. We don't say إِيَّاكَ. We say نَعْبُدُ. We don't say نَعْبُدُ. We don't double the single, we don't make the single double. We recite as it should be. وَلَا نَقْصُرُ مَمْدُودًا. He said, وَلَا نَمُدُّ مَقْصُورًا. We do not extend something that needs not extended. And we don't shorten something that needs to be extended. For example, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Al-Alameen. We don't say al-alabin. We don't shorten it. And something which is, you know, not extended, we don't extend it. And the other way, if it has to be extended, we don't shorten it. For example, we said ma yawmiddin. We don't say yawmiddin. Now let's take another example where we dinasirata. Yeah, ihdinasirata. We say ihdinasirata. We don't say ihdinasirata. So something which is needs no extension, we don't extend it, and vice versa. He said, قراءتنا قراءة أكابر أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, our recitation is the recitation of the great companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you notice, I showed you the chart, you must have received it by now. Did you receive it? No? You did? Okay. So in it, you saw the names of them, of the companions, like Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ubay ibn Ka'b, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abu Bakr, of course, and Umar ibn Khattab, the four caliphs. So he said, our recitation is the recitation of these great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahlun jazm. So our recitation is easy and, you know, short. La namdahu wa la naluk. We don't chew letters. Okay, we don't just say something in a way that we letters are chewed. Nusahir wa la nushaddid. We're not tight in our recitation. Our recitation is easy. نَقْرَأُ عَلَىٰ أَفْصَحِ اللُّغَاتِ وَأَمْضَاهَا. We recite according to the most eloquent part of the Arabic language. Means this Quran was reported to us by the Sahaba who took it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was revealed in Arabic, and this Quran in Arabic is the most eloquent, the strongest, etc. وَلَا نَلْتَفِدُ إِلَىٰ أَقَاوِيلِ الشُّعَرَاءِ وَأَصْحَابِ اللُّغَاتِ. We do not look, you know, pay attention to whatever the poets say or the people who claim to be linguistics or linguists. We don't listen to them. It means our recitation is a recitation that we learned from the great companions of the Prophet, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, "Asaghir an akabir." We're the small ones, they were the big ones, the great ones. قراءتنا قراءة المشايخ. Our recitation is the recitation of the teachers, of our shaykh. نَسْمَعُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا نَسْتَعْمِلُ فِيهِ الرَّأِيِ. He said, we listen to what Al-Qur'an is, we take this recitation from our shaykhs, we do not use our opinions in the way to recite the Qur'an. My shaykh read it this way, I don't say, but maybe in the Arabic it can be said that way. Because my shaykh took it from his shaykh, from the Sahaba, from the Prophet. So this recitation that I receive and I do has to be the same as what the Prophet recited. So I do not inject my opinion to change something about it. That's why the scholars of recitation say, Al-qira'atu sunnatun muttaba'a ya'khuduha al-akhiru 'anil awwal. They say the recitation of the Quran is a followed sunnah. The latest or the later person takes it on from the previous person. We take it from one to another. It's a sunnah muttaba'a, followed sunnah. It's not bid'ah. It's not something where people inject their opinions. And that's why the Quran has been preserved for us in form, in writing, in the way it's written, and the way it's recited, the oral part of it. So both parts are preserved for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the efforts of these great scholars who dedicated their lives to teach that field of knowledge, which is the recitation of the Qur'an al-Azim. Of course, he is one of those 10 reciters, those who narrated the recitation of the Qur'an by tawatur, as we mentioned to you in the Saturday class, and he is either one of the 7, he's always mentioned with the 7, and of course he's one of the 10, because because if he's one of the seven, he'll be one of the ten. And he recited, taught the people Al-Qur'an, recitation of Qur'an, for more than 70 years. For more than 70 years. And Imam Malik ibn Anas, one of the four scholars, you know, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Al-Shafi'i, and Ahmad. So Malik, one of those four fuqaha, mujtahideen, he said, Nafi'un imamun nasi fil qira'ah. He said, Nafi' is the imam of people in the recitation of Qur'an. He is the head, the greatest. And one time, he said, قِرَاءَةُ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ السُنَّةِ. He said, the recitation of the people of Medina is a sunnah, means it's narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قِيلَ لَهُ قِرَاءَةُ نَافِعٍ. They told him, are you referring, when you say the people of Medina, are you referring to that of Nafi'? قَالَ نَعَمْ, means yes, I'm referring to that of Nafi'. Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal, so a man called Abdullah is the son of the Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He said, I asked father, my father, أي القراءة أحب إليك, which recitation is the most beloved to you? He said, قراءة أهل المدينة, the recitation of the people of Medina, meaning قراءة نافع. He said, فإن لم يكن, it means if I don't recite this recitation of Ahlul Medina, فَقِرَاءَةُ عَاصِمْ. He said then, I would recite according to عَاصِمْ. And عَاصِمْ is one of those seven or ten that we mentioned. We, the standard recitation, that which is the most, you know, spread among the Muslims, is the recitation of عَاصِمْ, especially حَفْص from عَاصِمْ. Al-Imam al-Asma'i was one linguist who recited Al-Qur'an under Nafi'. He was one of his students. He said, I used to sit with Nafi' ibn Abi Nu'aym, and he was a reciter, a faqih, and a abid, a worshipful person. Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd is the man who spread the madhab of Imam Malik in Egypt. He was known to be either equal to Malik, or some, according to Al-Shafi'i, said something where he said he's even is higher than Malik, but his people did not follow, did not record his teachings. Anyway, he came in the year 110, and he found Imam Nafi', the head of the reciters, in recitation, nobody comes close to him. Al-Imam Ibn Mujahid is known in the field of recitation. He said that Nafi' was the imam that established the recitation of Qur'an after the followers of the companions did. In the Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew the different recitations and he followed the sunnah of the people who came before him. Now, Imam Nafi' became that knowledgeable not because he just sat at home or followed one or two shaykhs. He recited Al-Qur'an for 70 followers of the companions. قرأ القرآن على نحو 70 من التابعين رضي الله عنه. قرأ على عبد الرحمن ابن هرمز الأعرج أبو جعفر, his famous teacher أبو جعفر. أبو جعفر is one of the ten. شيبة, يزيد, مسلم, نافع ابن عمر, مولى ابن عمر. عامر, أبو الزناد, عبد الرحمن ابن قاسم ابن محمد بن أبي بكر الزهري. Many times we mention his name. Al-Imam Al-Jazari, radiyallahu anhu, remember the other way, طيبة. He said, وَقَدْ تَوَاتَرَ عِنْدَنَا أَنَّهُ قَرَأَ عَلَى الْخَمْسَةِ الْأُوَلِ. يعني he said, by tawatur, his sanad, Ibn Jazari said that Al-Imam Nafi' read by tawatur, we received it, that he read as a student, or read 4, 5, Al-A'raj, Abu Ja'far, Shaybah, Yazid, and Muslim, Ibn Jundub. So, means his qualification in reciting Al-Quran were the highest in Al-Madinah, Radwanullahi alayhi. So a person said, somebody asked me, which recitation do you teach? I told him I teach the recitation of Nafi'. He said, oh, Nafi', where did he get it from? Where did he read this? Under whom did he recite this? He said, Al-A'raj, one of the five that we mentioned. Then Al-A'raj said, means, how did Al-A'raj get this recitation? He said, I read it to Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet. And Abu Huraira said, I read it, this read to Ubay ibn Ka'b. Ubay is the most skilled companion in the recitation of the Quran. Ubayu aqra'ukum. So Ubay said, I read the Quran for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and the Prophet said, the Prophet said to Ubay, Jibreel ordered me to read the Quran for you. So, Nafi' al-Sanad or narration, chain of narration, goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we said, he sat in the, he prayed in the masjid of the Prophet for a period of 60 years. He taught for a period of 70 years. And he recited, he taught, people recited for him, many, many people. One of them is Al-Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu, Ismail. Isa ibn Wardan al-Hadda is one of the two narrators of Abu Ja'far. Ibn Jammas is the second one. Also, and these people were his, like, classmates, if you want. They read together for the same Shaykh, Abu Ja'far. And Qalun and Warsh is two narrators. And Al-Asma'i, we mentioned him, a linguist. Abu Amr ibn al-Ala, one of the 10 reciters, was also one of the reciters who recited for Nafi' radiallahu anhu. He died, Nafi' ibn Abi Nu'aym, died in Al-Madinah, Al-Munawwara, in the year 169 or 170. His boys, his children, told him, give us a wasiyah, means give us a commandment. What is your will for us? What do you order us to do? He said an ayah, the ayah in Surah Al-Anfal, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, fear Allah, make sure that your relation among them, among yourselves, is a good relation. Obey Allah and His Messenger if you were believers. رحمه الله تعالى والله سبحانه وتعالى أعلم. Inshallah, in our next class, we'll go forward to talk about the next ruler, the fifth one, Harun al-Rashid. Any question before we end our class? لا هذا أبو جعفر الطحاوي إجا بعدين بعد شيء 100 سنة. هذا أبو جعفر اسمه يزيد القعقاع, هذا أستاذ نافع, هو كان أحد الأئمة العشرة اللي بتشوفها بالموسطك وأنت ما لك على. طيب, any other question? How? Because he was not from, you know, from the area. He was a slave. Then he was freed. So he must have come from another area, maybe Africa. Because the, huh?
It's not known.
I don't know if because they call him Mawla al-Layfiyin, that he was a free slave of certain people from certain tribe. But he came from Asbahan, from Iran, so the Muslims have, you know, spread. Yeah, Luqman was black. And, Luqman, you know Luqman. Yeah. Many people were black. They won, what's his name? شو اسمه عطاء بن أبي رباح, the Shaykh of Abu Hanifa was black. So it has nothing to do with color. It has to do with what's in the heart. Iman. That's إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. The most honorable among you are the most pious. This is the criterion. The money, the color, the language, all of these do not make a person better than others. The Iman does that. Yes?
Is Isfahan like old forest, Kenneth, at that time? Or
Kiev?
Isfahan, maybe
Iran. Iran, the Rajah, I don't know. I am saying, during the times of Umar ibn Khattab, remember the Muslims fought the Persians? The Persians were in that area. So they took over their state and then they resided there. This is, you're talking Umar radiallahu anhu was around the year 1315. This is the year 170. So the Muslims have already settled there, and then another generation of Muslims showed up. Nafi, yeah, we're talking about the same man. Yeah. There are other things. One of his students would not hear anything, but when he starts teaching Quran, he hears the Quran. You talk to him, he doesn't hear. He's deaf. Once he starts teaching the Quran, he can hear the Quran. So those people are, you know, special. طيب yes, these are supermen. These are our heroes. Yes. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم العشاء الدائب وربعه